Hello and welcome to Pop a la carte 13. This week we're going to have a brief discussion of the Emmys, which is going to be really brief because none of us have watched like any of the shows that won, or hardly any of us have. Angela's going to introduce us to something that Tatiana and I have never heard of because they're doing a Kickstarter. We're going to talk about the movies for this fall. We're going to keep our TV talk, and we're going to do that next week again because we're not in October yet anyway. We will end with another interview from the cast of Versailles this week. It will be Anna Brewster, who plays Madame de Montespan, who is basically the unofficial queen of Versailles, because she's the king's mistress, and she, you know, is more important than the queen, really.
I hate when that happens.
I know, it's awful, right? Anyway, so I am Valerie.
I'm Tatiana.
And I'm Angela.
And the Emmys happened, and did anybody watch anything that won?
Okay. I will say, I do watch The Handmaid's Tale.
Yay.
And I do watch Atlanta.
Okay.
So I had seen them, but I didn't watch the Emmys because I was like, I don't have any investment in this. I know that Donald Glover will win, so yay. And I know that Handmaid's Tale will win, and then that's like pretty much
I really thought it. This was us, or This Is Us was going to win. I really did. I want to watch The Handmaid's Tale. Mm-hmm. It's just, I haven't had fucking time.
I mean, I feel like This Is Us is better than The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, snap. But it's not as timely, maybe.
Right, and it's not as timely.
Handmaid's Tale, I think, largely won because, wow, it's scary right now. Which is part of the reason, besides time, that's the other reason I haven't really watched it.
Right.
Because I don't know if I could take it.
It's like
right
you're
now.
you're already living it, so. It's
yeah, exactly.
That doesn't have the same.
It might be too real and just terrify the crap out of me.
Yeah. I did think it was hilarious when, I believe it was Ira from MTV News, Ira Madison III, I think.
I don't actually know anybody on MTV anymore.
He's a dude on Twitter.
Okay.
And he's a journalist. And so he tweeted, and he was like, a man just won for Handmaid's Tale. Because the showrunner, Bruce, whatever his name is, is a dude.
Awkward.
And they even said, they were like, oh, we wanted to have a female showrunner, but then we met Bruce. And I was like,
really?
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, how?
I'm sure you could have found a woman.
Right, exactly.
You really
amazing.
Tried.
Incredible. Show-stopping. I can't believe how good must he have been to beat just imaginary women. Right?
Yeah, really.
Anyway.
Did you meet any women before you met the man? Exactly. Or did you just meet the man and you were like, nah, we're done now?
But yes.
I think out of the stuff that was nominated, I've seen Stranger Things and I've seen Westworld.
Okay.
I think that's literally all I saw that was nominated.
Oh. I mean, I've definitely seen a lot of what was nominated, but I don't know because I don't know what was nominated.
Well, I had the list, but whatever.
I just gave up on the Emmys. How about you, Angela?
Nothing.
I guess it just
I watch, like, sitcoms and K-drama. That's all I watch.
It just goes to show how out of touch they are, kind of. Like, they pick what's the flash in the pan, but then not everybody's even watching that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, it was weird that Stranger Things was nominated, because that's probably the thing that... it was the biggest, like Westworld was obviously talked about a lot.
Yeah.
But that's HBO, whatever. Mm-hmm. Probably Stranger Things was a little bit more weird that it was. I mean, my parents watched that. Although they watched
Westworld, I guess at least it goes to show that they're opening up to other genres more, but I don't know. Like, the other thing that I knew about the Emmys, because I really don't know anything, is the Sean Spicer was there, and, like, James Corden, like, kissed him on the cheek or something.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, why? Like, was he invited? Like, he was...
Yeah, so...
Yeah, I read an article. It was Colbert's idea.
Yeah, he came out, and behind, like, a fake, like, what are they called?
The podium.
Okay.
There was the word I was looking for. He came out behind a fake podium. Or, well, it was a podium, but it's like it had a fake logo that, like, it's like the president seal,
right?
But it said the Emmys instead and stuff. And yeah, it was just, you know, I don't know. You could tell people were shocked and just kind of like didn't know how to react. I mean, obviously they showed Melissa McCartney, and you could tell she was kind of like, what?
Yeah. I don't know, I feel like...
But most people just basically accepted him.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, yeah, but this is not... It isn't good.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that just shows, like, how...
Shock value, but then you're not doing... You're making fun of him, but at the same time, you're then accepting him.
Exactly. It's like, and this is the man who recently said that Hitler didn't use any chemical weapons or whatever, you know? So I'm like, how are you supposed to... Like, that's out of touch to me,
too. He has a job at Harvard now.
Are you
serious? What the fuck, Harvard?
Exactly, Harvard. What are you doing? Like, obviously, that just goes to show that you don't have, like, you don't care about integrity in your employees, you know? Because it's like, who in their right mind would be like, no, yes, this is a man that I want to hire? Because he lies good, I guess.
Yeah, right?
Right?
Steals many bridges.
He's basically the modern day Goebbels, and it's like that. This is what you just celebrated. That was really, really stupid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least I guess Jason Isaacs is the only person who like called them out on it that night, because he tweeted pictures and he was like, "What the fuck is this guy doing here?"
Oh, that's
like with
good.
Him in the background, and Jason Isaacs is just looking at the camera like, "Whoa."
Well, I guess I have. Respect for Jason Isaacs. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know, but. Everything else was cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. The intro thing was cute, except that, you know, Colbert comes out and then he's supposed to be singing and it's really, really obvious that it's recorded and he's not actually singing, but that's okay. It went from pre-recorded skits to him on stage, so it was, I was able to forgive it. But, and he, you know, most of what he said was... like, on the nose. Mm-hmm. There was a hell of a lot, obviously, of anti-Trump shit. Mm-hmm. I think the best moment of the night was, you know, Alec Baldwin winning, and everybody knew he was going to win, and saying, here's your Emmy, Mr. President, because he famously is so upset that he never won an Emmy for the... for his stupid show.
Apprentice or whatever, Celebrity Apprentice. I don't know what it's called.
Celebrity Apprentice, yeah.
But then they just kind of undercut, like, even Colbert giving an anti-Trump monologue, but Colbert's was his idea to invite Spicer.
Right.
It kind of, like, undercuts all of it.
He didn't really probably think of that. It was shock value.
Yeah.
It was like, yes, but what's the fallout
of that?
He's
the one who previously had the reputation for being the more thoughtful of the, like, late-night comedian hosts about stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of like, well, this is why we don't... can't have heroes.
It's clearly what's his name? I'm about to call him Seth MacFarlane, and he's not Seth MacFarlane. Seth Meyers. He's the only one of the like.
Oh, I can't stand him.
I mean, I don't like particularly like him, but at least whenever he does his little like Trump like little like every week, he's like, this is some shit that Trump has done. And I'm like, all right, you know what? I feel like you're the one that's going the hardest after him, other than like John Oliver. You and John Oliver can stay.
Samantha Bee, of course.
Yes, everyone else can go home. Trevor Noah's okay. He can stay too. Trevor Noah can stay too. Go.
Bill Maher. Did you see the joke that he made about Bill Maher?
So he
started listing all these like famous black celebrities, and then at the end he listed Bill Maher, and everybody laughed, and he's like, I mean, he must be black if he's okay saying the N-word. It's like, oh, snap.
Oh my god.
That was good.
Yeah, that is a good one. That is a good one, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I do like that. So James Corden got a lot of flack because he kissed Sean Spicer on the cheek, and there's a picture of it. Mm-hmm. I do like that he then went on his show and he was like, no, you're right. That was bad. I shouldn't have done that.
Right.
Thank you for calling me out on it. I have respect for that now.
Yeah, I do like when people
you made
do
a mistake, and you're admitting that that was a stupid fucking thing to do, and we can move on now.
Yes.
At least you admitted that.
It's like we were all in agreement that that was bad.
Yes. Otherwise, you know, it was the Emmys. It was entertaining enough.
Yeah.
The only other thing that I really didn't like was the Sterling K. Brown was...
They cut him off,
cut him off. And they didn't... Like, the music usually builds. Uh-huh. It didn't. It went right to loud. Uh-huh. And his speech was, like, a minute shorter than Nicole Kidman's, who was allowed to speak as long as she wanted
to. That's so crazy.
And it was like... That's not okay.
Yeah,
that was really rude.
Yeah, because I always feel like they don't, like, in the past, like, it probably hasn't been so obvious, but I always feel like there's some people you're like, they're going too long, and they're not being staffed.
You know?
And other people, like, as the night goes on, it's like you get shorter and shorter, right? So it's like...
Nicole Kidman was literally the award before him, so it was
really obvious.
It was like, wait a minute, you let her speak for as long as... I don't even think the music started during her speech, and she talked for, like, 2 minutes 45. He spoke for 1:37 and they cut him off.
That's crazy.
And they cut his mic.
Yeah.
Finally. Like, it was bad. Yeah,
oh
it was my God. It was not cool.
Well, I'm glad he won.
I am glad he won.
Yeah.
And NBC took out a full page ad in the Hollywood Reporter to let him finish his speech.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So he wrote the whole thing, and what they cut him off for was he was gonna say to his wife.
Aww.
And they cut that off. And I was like,
that's cute though.
Yeah.
Mm, okay.
At least there's that.
You go, NBC.
Yeah. So now I really need to, and at least I've seen the one scene from season two that they showed at the TCAs of him. So I do know that he's really good at the role.
There you go.
Even if I haven't actually watched the show. I was happy for him.
Did you see This Is Us, Angela?
Nope.
Yeah, we went through the whole list before you got here. That's right. And so neither of us had seen anything that won, except for John Oliver. That was the only thing that I think. I mean, that doesn't count because we're talking scripted. So yeah. Oh well. The Emmys are what they are.
Yeah.
The Oscars, it's the same thing every year too. I do notice that if I watch like the BAFTAs, I'll probably have seen more of that stuff than I will of the American stuff, to be honest. But even then, it's not. There's a lot I haven't seen. So.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's like you need to strike a balance between like you're awarding quality, but quality doesn't have to mean it's like
celebrity-driven.
celebrity-driven, but also like a kind of like elitist, like only 2% of the population is gonna even have access to seeing this.
Yes.
Let alone.
I feel like the Oscars is worse at than the Emmys.
Yeah, for sure. It's because there's so many.
Except for this year, because I mean, Moonlight did win.
That's true.
Even though it didn't almost win.
It almost didn't win.
So awkward. It's never going away. I can't wait to see how they address that.
And that's just sad. Like, such a revolutionary movie, like, just for itself and also for winning an Oscar, and it's forever going to be associated with, like...
La La Land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the faux pas.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, it sucks.
Although I said that to John once, and he was like, no. He's like, because what can you say about any other Oscar movie? You Wikipedia it, and it literally just says the name of the movie that won that year, and then you move on. So I was like, you know what? That's a fair point.
So it will actually live longer in the memory.
The only ones you do remember are the ones where it's you look back on it, you're like, why the fuck did Crash win? That's a terrible movie. That's an awful movie. I loved Titanic.
Yeah.
But it was up against L.A. Confidential, which should have won that year. I mean, those are the only other ones you remember. So, there you go.
That makes sense. Yeah, I did not... I actually didn't like Titanic. Now, it's a tangent. But I really was not... But then again...
I haven't seen it in over 15 years, but at the time, I loved it.
I mean, I was a child at the time, and I was just like, this is too long. What is
happening? I was a senior in high school.
Yeah.
So, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
I loved it. Yeah. It was perfect for me at that age. Yeah. Oh, and the other, I forgot, one more aside of the Emmys, the other fun point of the night was they brought out Jane Fonda and Dolly Parton and what's her face? I can't remember.
Her face.
From Frankie and Grace.
Lily
Tomlin.
Lily Tomlin.
Yes. Okay. So they brought the three of them out together to celebrate 9 to 5.
Oh, okay.
That's the movie's name, right? It is actually called 9 to 5. I was like, wait a minute, it's been a long time since I've seen it. Anyway, that was cute. That was really, and Jesus Christ, Jane Fonda looks amazing.
She does.
For how old is she? I don't even know, but she looks amazing. And then Dolly Parton starts talking about a vibrator. I was like, Dolly Parton for the win. That was funny.
That is really funny.
Yeah.
That is really funny and cute. Was it 9 to 5 a movie?
Yes.
Like, why were they talking about it at the Emmys?
I know. I don't know. Because
we'll forgive it because Dolly Parton talked about a vibrator, so
yeah, exactly. It's because they were Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin were both nominated for
Frankie and Grace.
Mm-hmm. So, and then it's just bring out the two of them are already there. Hey, let's just bring out Dolly Parton. I think that's what it was.
It's a cute connection for sure. Yeah. And you know, by next fall they'll be announcing a 9 to 5 television series. So.
I'm sure somebody's gonna make
it. I would watch it if they got the three of them back together.
Yes.
It'd be like the Golden Girls.
Yeah, right. I would watch it. That would be totally fun, actually. Anyway, all right. Well, I think that's the Emmys.
That was the Emmys.
They're forgettable, to be honest. All right, so Angela, take it away. Tell us about this Kickstarter.
So, yes, there is a Kickstarter for Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries, which is an Australian murder mystery show that's super cute. There's all three seasons are up on Netflix right now, so you should go watch it if you like murder mysteries or period dramas. And it's just Franny. Franny Fisher is the main character's name, and it's just her solving mysteries and being super feminist and just not giving a fuck about what anybody thinks.
Nice. When does it take
place? Really good romantic tension between her and the main guy, Jack. His character is basically, like, both very confounded and perplexed and exasperated by her, and also, like, secretly, like, oh shit, really turned on. So it's really cute, and... And the relationships between the women in the movie or in the show is really good too. So they are trying to make a movie now, and actually they're making the movie. They surpassed their initial Kickstarter goal, so yeah, it's happening. Cool. But they're up to the point now where they've been like, if you keep giving us more money, we'll just keep adding more cool stuff. So awesome. They're up at the part where they're going to add like a scene between her and Jack, which means it'll be a shippy scene. So
yeah,
which is what everybody always wants.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And they will pay for their ship.
They will pay for their ship.
Sure. I mean, people were drawing the like parallels between it and the Veronica Mars movie because the Veronica Mars was the first big, you know, famous thing to do this, but it's another like badass lady detective.
That's true. I like that. And also, as you were describing it, I do know for a fact that my roommate was watching Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries on Netflix, and so whenever I would come in, I would see it happening. So
it's really fun. The costumes are fantastic. Like, it's so
20s. Oh, 1920s. That's what I was going to ask. It's a lot of fun to take place.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That sounds fun.
Yep.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So when was it created, actually?
I'm not sure because I only started watching it on Netflix, so I have no idea.
But it's not. It's relatively recent.
It's not been that long ago.
Okay.
Awesome. Do they have a time period they're shooting for the movie to be released, or have they said they had to see how much money they got?
They haven't said. They have said at this point, like, they're getting to add more really cool costumes and more international scenes.
Nice.
So there is going to be like an international aspect. She's gonna go because Franny was like, you know, rich heiress or whatever, but then she just runs around and like solves mysteries and helps people instead. So it was made in 2012 and 2013.
Oh, okay.
First season. It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
No.
So, how do you get on the Kickstarter? Where do you? Is it like a Twitter that you can link to, or?
Because I've just been Googling it.
Oh, okay. We'll Google it then.
Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries Kickstarter. Well, and Google's been suggesting it to me a lot when it, like, I go to Google News, because I do that every day, because the world is sad. but it scrolls down, and it always tells me. But yeah, if you, like, just Google their Kickstarter, like, that phrase, it just comes up. It's the top Google result.
Oh, okay. I will do that then.
Yeah, what have they said? They're going to be, she's going to go to somewhere and solve a cool mission.
But they're not revealing somewhere. Where. I see.
Because now they can afford more than they originally thought they could, probably. So
she's going on a global adventure. So she's going to go into London and the Arabian Desert and Asia.
Nice.
Run around. A lot of cool stuff.
Awesome.
I like it.
That sounds fun. So we all have to watch for that then, because at least you're suggesting something that we're definitely going to get, because then I would be sad if it was a Kickstarter that didn't get funded.
it's definitely happening now. And I mean, it's one, like, it's not, I don't know, I didn't ever really binge it, because it's, like, very episodic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, like, fun. There are just some nights where I have, like, an extra hour, and I'm like, I would love to watch Cool 20s. Ladies do cool solve mysteries.
Yeah, that is kind of nice to actually know that, because so much of the stuff that people tell you to binge, you really have to be like, you have to watch it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And it is actually nice to have things that are episodic that you can just take it as you have time, because otherwise, you know, you don't want to get into things that are a huge commitment when you're like, but I don't have time. Which is why I have, you know, The Handmaid's Tale and a million other things that I haven't watched yet, because I know I need to basically watch it all in one go.
Aww.
And it's too much pressure.
Right.
Yeah, it shouldn't be going anywhere. It's very low pressure. It's
cool. Unless Netflix gets rid of it, because they do that.
That's true. They did that to me with Xena, which is what I watched a ton when I was a kid, and then, like, it was on Netflix, and
Xena's not on Netflix anymore?
It was like, they took it off. One day I was sick, and I was like, I want to watch. And it was gone, and it was really devastating.
I was really upset when they took Buffy off earlier this year, because it was like, it's the 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
People are going to be searching for it, because there's a lot being talked about, and then that's when you decide to take it off Netflix.
Is Buffy on anything right now, like CW Seed?
I don't think so.
Huh. That's weird.
I don't know. I haven't checked CW Seed, so I guess I don't know, but I don't think it's streaming anymore.
That's lame.
Yeah, and I was like, I have all the DVDs, but you have to get them out.
Right.
And I don't want to do that. It's so much easier just to put up Netflix.
I got through, like, 3 episodes of Buffy before they took it off Netflix.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, I'm not trying to watch
Netflix
Buffy.
Making these decisions, or is it, like, the companies that
I'm sure
it?
It's the company.
It's probably they wanted more money, and Netflix was like, oh, fuck it, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless they really, because you'd think if it was going somewhere specific, they would have advertised that it was going to somewhere specific, especially because it is the 20th anniversary, so people might be seeking it out. But I never saw anything about it going anywhere else. I just saw when it was taken down. It was like, oh, okay.
Sure. That's annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Faux so, show.
Anyway, show. So Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries. Watch it on Netflix.
Yes.
And watch for the movie. Which,
yep.
I guess will be in theaters.
I can, like, follow up sometime if when
yeah.
the movie's actually happening.
Give us updates.
That sounds
fun. All right. Well, then I guess our next topic is the fall movie season, which
do
hopefully...
Do you guess or do you know?
Do I know. That's what we're talking about next. But we're going to hope that it's better than the summer movie season right? And that they make some money, right?
Yeah.
Because otherwise they're in trouble.
Well, I'm seeing now, you know, Rotten Tomatoes, the fall of movies as we know it, has the Kingsman sequel as rotten.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
It's at 55% right now.
Yeah.
That comes out on Friday. I don't know. I've heard people saying that basically it's just not, like, it goes for even more gore in some parts, and it's just, it's almost like that's trying to hide that it's not as good. I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, it was never going to be as good as the first one, because that was so surprising, because nobody expected that.
Right.
And the first one
was
really...
That's what I was going to say, like, you had expectations exceeded.
Yeah.
With the first Kingsman, and now people know what to, like, they know what they're going in for, mm-hmm. you can never quite get that back.
Yeah.
That always sucks. Fucking expectations.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's how I felt about Into the Badlands season 2, actually, when it comes to it was more gore
and
then less plot.
Yeah. You know what? I agree with that.
I didn't watch it.
And even John noticed the more gore, and he's usually just like, la la la, like, you're making me watch this show now. But.
Yeah, no, they showed us several scenes in the panel at Comic-Con this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of them was, it's in the trailer. In fact, they're all in the trailer, but you don't... Or the trailers, but there's not a lot of them. So one of them is the taxi cab fight that you see with Eggsy. And that's the beginning of the movie. That's, like, the first 15 minutes. They showed us the first 15 minutes of the movie, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous, but it's fun. And then they showed us when they meet the Statesman.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't very long. And I'm not a big Channing Tatum fan, but he was fine.
He was fine.
I call him Channing Potato. His head is not proportional to his body, and it drives me nuts.
No.
I don't know. Anyway, everybody tells me you're just supposed to look at his chest, and I'm like, I'm not a big, muscly chest person.
Right.
It doesn't work for me.
I just think he's a sweet boy.
He seems nice.
But yeah.
Although I still don't think he's good enough to play Gambit, but whatever. That's
well,
another discussion
yeah.
entirely.
Yeah.
Wait, is that happening?
Supposedly.
I'm happy about him in the Splash remake where he's the mermaid.
That's gonna be cute.
That does sound weird.
That does sound weird.
I'm on board for that.
I don't know if I've ever seen the original, so.
Well, especially if they go full on, like, Ditz, the fish out of water kind of thing, because too often have you seen that being born sexy yesterday video that's been going around?
No.
Where people talk about the fetishization of the, like, she's supposed to be a powerful woman or whatever, but she's also, like, very naive and doesn't know anything about this world.
It's
and
a Wonder Woman.
So, and then you, like, and so the flip of now that naive one that gets led around is the male character.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was sort of like Thor, though.
Yeah.
The first Thor movie was
yeah,
kind of like...
Yeah, no, there's aspects of that in Thor.
Oh, yeah,
what am I doing?
It's part of why I'm not... Thor is my least favorite, probably, of all of the Avengers, because I'm like, hey, you're an idiot. Look, we did it! We were trying not to talk about K-dramas and MCU and every single
oh,
thing.
No!
And we did it anyway!
I did it! I'm sorry! I ruined it. You know what?
We're starting
a drinking game,
guys.
I held back earlier from saying, when you were like, oh, I have to watch Handmaid's Tale, and I was going to say, you also have to watch Queen Innings again, and then I stopped myself, and this time I didn't.
And now we've done both. Everybody take a drink. Anyway.
Okay, so, fall movies.
Going back to Kingsman, though, so the other scene they showed us was one of Julianne Moore, and she's the villain, and I'm not going to tell you what happens, but it was really disturbing. I was like, I didn't need to watch that. I didn't, like, and they don't even show most of what it is, but I was like, I still don't like it. I still don't like it, the
oh
thought
gosh.
That it's happening. So, yeah,
that's what you have to look forward to. That's a pretty intense tease.
I have a friend who went to the premiere in London, and she loved it, but she loves everything. So I can't trust any of her judgment.
That's
we can
so
never
funny.
Agree on anything. So I think we're going to see it, but in theaters probably. But I don't think we're rushing out to see it like
right.
we did the first one. And apparently everybody should go see the Lego Ninjago movie.
Of course.
Because, well, that's fresh. It's only 72. It's not like it's really high.
So it's obviously not as good as their Batman movie.
Or your original Lego movie.
The original Lego movie was the best one.
For sure.
I did enjoy the Batman one, but I think I probably would have enjoyed it more if I was actually, that steeped in Batman lore,
right.
And I'm not.
Right.
I know Matt really liked it, though.
Mm.
But, yeah. I don't know.
I didn't see that free in the movie theater.
Oh, really?
The movie theaters down here do free kids' movies in the summer.
Oh, that's fun.
Second run, so we had to see Lego, but kids did not like it. They're too young. They were only four.
Oh.
So they were like, what is happening?
That sucks.
But I liked it a lot.
Good.
Most of the movies we're looking at the list of movies that are coming out. Most of them we'll never have heard of, but we can kind of have that discussion we were talking about. So one of them that's coming out next week, so the 29th, is Flatliners, because we need to remake everything that's ever been made, and might have had some small following,
like some small wave. So now,
yeah,
it's like...
so now it's like let's make it again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really liked the original. It's not amazing. Mm-hmm. It's not like high drama, but it was really entertaining. And I don't know if I want to see the new one because I'm worried about it. And apparently, there's no reviews, which is never a good thing.
Right.
So.
I've heard about Flatliners.
You've never seen it.
But I don't think I've ever seen it. Yeah. Unless I watched it and I just have no, you know, like, it just didn't make any impression on me. But it's like what? People flatline and then, like, you do what when you're flatlining? What happens when you
flatline? Basically, it's like a near-death experience. So it's what you see on the other side kind of thing.
Oh,
and that's
okay,
their, so they keep pushing the limits of how long they can stay dead. And then something, they start basically hallucinating when they're alive and, you know,
sounds like something that might happen, I guess, if you were constantly trying to die.
Yeah, it's not going to be good for you, I can imagine. I don't know.
Something called Chabela is supposed to be really good, so there's that. 100%.
I've never heard of it.
Also, White Sun, Seto Surya. All right. They sound like those are foreign films.
Yes, they do, don't they? Which is probably why they already have ratings, because they've been released in other places.
Yeah.
Even though these are further out. But the next big one is Blade Runner 2049, which is, again, along the same discussion that we were having of why do we have to remake or add to every story? Like, it's half of the stuff that's coming is, okay, what did we do 20 years ago? What can we come back with?
It feels like they don't trust that they have new ideas.
Yes. And when are they good? Because I was telling Angela before. So Matt has Star Wars and the original trilogy and the original three Indiana Jones movies are like on a pedestal for him. Like, he thinks Raiders of the Lost Ark is a perfect movie.
Mm-hmm.
And but they're like special because of what they are. So if you ask him what his favorite movie is, it's Blade Runner. And the fact that Harrison Ford is in all these movies has nothing to do with anything. He just loves these movies. He doesn't really care about Harrison Ford at all. But he doesn't acknowledge that this movie exists. He doesn't want to see it.
Right.
He did want to go to the experience at San Diego, and unfortunately we never made it, which sucks.
No.
But, because apparently that was amazing, because it's just a recreation of the same basic set. And that he doesn't necessarily mind.
Mm-hmm.
But the story of, you know, he thinks Blade Runner is a... Obviously, it's his favorite movie. He thinks it's an amazing movie, and he's not excited. And it is because, you know, he was really excited for the original trilogy, or I mean, the prequels to the Star Wars prequels, and then they were crap.
Right.
And then he watched The Force Awakens, and he hated it. And he hated Rogue One, and he will never see another Star Wars movie again.
Wow.
And Crystal Skull was terrible.
Right.
It was a terrible... There is only three Indiana Jones movies we're not gonna acknowledge that Crystal Skull even happened. That's a stupid story. So I kind of don't blame him.
Yeah.
And... Yeah. I don't know. I'm not as... I didn't see Blade Runner until I met him, which was, like, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it, like, 6 times now. I've seen different versions of it. But I'm not as... invested in it because of that, because it came to it so late.
Right.
So, I guess I might see this one, but I don't know.
It's another movie I haven't seen.
What, a
Blade Runner?
Okay, so she hasn't seen Back to the Future, and she hasn't seen Blade Runner. We're adding to the list of movies that we need to make her see.
Like, okay, this is a horrible comparison, but Sabrina the Teenage Witch, alright? I really love that series, even though it's like, objectively bad. It's not that good. But
I love that series.
I keep
but I, Yes.
Okay, and now they just announced that they are going to do a companion to Riverdale, Sabrina Teenage series.
Yes,
and I'm like,
just announced today.
I don't want these.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want these. Yeah. You're going to Riverdale, Sabrina the Teenage Witch,
yeah.
which was previously a series that I loved,
yeah.
and now it will not be. Unlike with Riverdale, because it's like, I don't really care about, I've never watched a live Archie, like a live
yeah.
action Archie show, so so it can be the first one. But with Sabrina, I'm like,
Yeah.
So that's how I'm sure that Matt feels about Blade Runner.
Only on a different scale.
Yeah, on a different scale. But I'm just imagining, like, they're going to put Sabrina with not Harvey. I can feel it already. It's not going to be Harvey. Or they're going to change Harvey. He's not going to be dopey little dog boy anymore. Like, what am I supposed to do? And she won't have, like, a revolving door of best friends because the actresses just leave. Like.
Which is important.
So important.
They might. Maybe that's
yeah.
the part that they keep.
There,
maybe
that's
we should suggest that
keep.
if we go to a panel or something, we
yeah.
are like, this is what the this is the part.
You should definitely not develop the side female characters and just replace them every season. Anyway,
if
yes.
Melissa Joan Hart isn't in
right.
the show
she
in
be
some
the mom,
way,
or like the aunt. She'd be the aunt.
Yeah.
There you go.
If she's not in the show in some way, I'm gonna be very upset.
It's true. What's the point then?
Yeah.
God, you're so right.
Yeah, I know, right? But that's the thing. Here we go. That's another thing that we're remaking, and it's like, but why? Why can't we come up with any new ideas?
Yeah.
It feels like... Because even Riverdale isn't an original idea.
Right.
It came from the comic, which I can't believe it took them that long to make something out of it,
right.
but, you know.
And it's like, I feel like it's like they had an idea, and then they were like, well, in order to sell it, we have to make it Riverdale. You
yeah.
know what I mean? We have to make it...
What can we tie it to
exactly.
to get people to watch it?
Yeah.
Because, yeah. Yeah. It does feel like that a lot of the time. And it's not to say you can't make any,
mm-hmm.
because, I mean, not to take it back there again, but, like, we love the MCU, so, and...
Right. But that's
sometimes
like,
the DC movies.
Right.
And so that's okay to do
mm-hmm.
sometimes, but it's just, it feels like, you know, wait, that was two things in a row that are remakes or a follow-up to a movie that
right.
happened 30 years ago or 40 mm-hmm. years ago, whenever the fuck Blade
It's especially
came out.
Odd to me when it's something, like, with Blade Runner, at least, it's like, okay, that is, like, zeitgeisty, okay, sure, I guess. But, like, for example, like, Lone Ranger... And you're like, who, why, did anyone even care about Lone Ranger to begin with?
I know.
And now you're like, and also the man who, something from Uncle,
the man from Uncle.
Yeah, what? And I was like, was there really enough cachet for you to...
Was there really an outcry of people
yes.
who wanted you to do that?
Like, that's when I wonder, like, because for stuff like Blade Runner, I'm like, I see that from a monetary perspective. I get where you're coming from. But with others, it's like, you really thought you were that this was going to be a cash cow?
Yeah.
Like, it's unoriginal, and nobody asked for it, to begin with.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Goodbye, Christopher Robin. That must be Winnie the Pooh,
yep.
right?
Yes. In fact,
yep.
that's... I think they just had their premiere in London today.
Oh.
That's October 13th. That looks cute.
Yeah.
I mean, Donald Gleason and Kelly...
And that's another one that's
McGregor.
Like... That's a...
They're adorable.
You know, a zeitgeist thing, right?
The books are really, really sweet.
Yeah.
I never read, like, the original books until I had Alexa, and then, like, it's often in second person of, like, the author, the narrator speaking to his son, and then it'll be like, but what about Pooh, you said, and the you is Christopher Robin. And so the books are, like, stories are told from this perspective of the dad is telling the story to the kid, and the kid is interacting with it.
That's cute.
It's really sweet.
Yeah, I never read any of the...
Really?
Yeah.
I read them when I was young, but yeah, my... It's just like...
My brother really loved the Disney cartoons when I was a kid, but that's all I... Or when
yeah, that's the
kid.
Only... I could, like, I'd never
that's
read Winnie the Pooh until,
yeah,
like, you know, 4 years ago. But I did love the cartoons as well, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is anybody gonna watch... I would assume everybody's gonna watch Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman.
Oh, of course.
Mm-hmm. I want to see that if it plays down where I live, which is a maybe.
Oh, no. But, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that.
I mean, it has an 88.
Yeah.
That's also
like
October 13th.
It is going into, right, like, it's going into his, like, polyamorous relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is
yeah.
nice. They don't, like, ignore that kind of thing, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, the movie like to do
Hollywood
that.
Hollywood often does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hopefully they don't sensationalize it too much,
right.
though.
That's
the other.
That's the issue.
You have one or the other, right? Mm-hmm. It's not... Geostorm. What the fuck is that? I don't even know. It looks like another stupid Day After Tomorrow
yeah,
or something
exactly.
movie. October 20th. Yep. I don't know.
I wonder if this movie, the far I saw.
There's another Leatherface?
Another what?
There's another Leatherface coming out?
Right.
What the hell?
Who asked for Leatherface?
Who asked for that? I know it's Halloween, but what? What were you going to say? Sorry, Angela, go ahead.
Yeah, there's this movie, The Foreigner, and I saw a clip of Jackie Chan on Conan, and he was talking about something, and I wonder if it was this movie. Because he's in it. He was saying his character is very serious in this one, because Conan was asking him, Conan was like, what movies would you like to do now that you're getting too old to do, all the action anymore? And he was like, he really wants somebody to cast him in a romance. Poor Jackie. He's you know, people never look at me and see that, I could be a romantic lead, and I want to be a romantic lead sometime, and I'm like, aw.
That's cute.
Somebody let Jackie Chan, just make sure you cast an age-appropriate actress, because they hate it when they're creepers.
Yeah,
I think, well, they do like to do old men.
And younger
women. And younger women. But, you're more likely to see an old man mm-hmm. play a love interest or do a romantic story than you are older women.
For sure.
But absolutely. For the most part, it has to be a very, very dashing. Not that Jackie Chan isn't dashing.
Yeah.
But the problem is, do most people see him and think dashing?
And that's
the problem. Yeah, that's why he's never been given. He's never been given the chance to do it.
Yeah.
So nobody sees him in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So he's never going to get the chance to do it.
Yep.
Exactly. Cycle. That is the problem.
Yep. You just solved it.
Yep.
Or identified it.
And so, sorry, Jackie Chan, you're never going to get it because Hollywood sucks.
Unless someone makes it specifically to do it, and then they post it on YouTube or something, right? And then it can't
He's got
be done.
The money. Why doesn't he make it?
Yeah, exactly. Do it, Jackie Chan. This is our advice to you.
This is our advice. Just
self-finance you as a romantic lead and prove that it can be done. And then, and we're telling you to do it because the rest of us can't.
We will watch it if you make it. I will watch that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you do go creepy and cast a 20-something actress.
Right. And then I'm not going to watch it because then it's creepy.
Please don't do that. And also finance a second season of Selfie. Thank you, Jackie Chan.
I always used to. I saw articles today where they were talking about it's 15 years since Firefly.
Oh yeah.
So they were talking about that, and I always used to say, I was like, man, if I was rich, that's what I would like. Half of my money would be like, here's another season of Firefly. Here's another season of Farscape. Give me all the things I love. Yeah,
that's a good use of money.
This is why I am the person you want to be rich, not the Koch brothers, because fuck that one. Because I would also give everybody healthcare.
There you go. Healthcare and second seasons of
your favorite shows. There you go. See, you would love me. I would be the best rich person. Somebody giving me some money. I would also give everybody food. Basic necessities, plus things that make them happy, because you need the things that make you happy.
That's true.
That are just entertainment. That's what it's good for. Did anybody watch Bad Moms? There's a Bad Moms Christmas coming out November 1st, apparently.
I mean,
nope.
I'm pretty sure, a couple of my friends saw Bad Moms, for sure. I didn't see it.
I feel like I don't want to go into Christmas stuff yet, but at the same time, that's coming out November 1st, and I don't feel like done all of fall. I know, I'm that's really early. It feels like that should be coming out, the 1st
December
of December.
First, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Seeing this reminds me that Thor Ragnarok is so far away.
It's still
November 3rd.
November 3rd, I want it now.
I'm pretty excited for it. My friend,
I'm so excited for it.
Amber is actually, super, anti it, and I don't really know why.
Really?
She just doesn't she doesn't like that there's, a love interest switch, and she doesn't like Hulk. So, she's just everything about this is bad to me.
I don't care about Hulk.
Right.
But I don't mind the Hulk.
Yeah.
And I'm sure
and
it looks like it's gonna be fun.
Yeah. Exactly. Their relationship will be more fun than either of them individually. Because both of them are nothing to me.
Yeah. the Thor... there you go. The very bottom of my MCU list is the last one is the Hulk movie, and the two above that are the two Thor movies.
Yeah.
So there you go. You've somehow taken those two characters who are my least favorite and the ones I'm least interested in and made me really excited for their movie because it looks hilarious.
Yeah.
But that is Taika Waititi's magic.
Right.
Taika Waititi's magic. That's all there is to it. Yeah. I think
I mean,
the
because I didn't even see the second Thor movie and now I'm I can't wait for Thor Ragnarok.
Really?
Yeah.
I liked it better than the first one.
Oh, really?
Most people hate it and don't like it better than the first one.
Oh,
but
right.
I don't mind Natalie Portman as much in the second one, which means
that's
that
right,
I
that
like
was,
it better.
You had that issue.
That's my bit. So I like the second one better.
Yeah. I fell asleep during the first one and I just would wake up to be like, take it off. And then he would subsequently not take it off, so I would go back to sleep.
He took his shirt off a few times. I don't think he does in the second one, sorry.
We'll see, there you go.
I have no reason to watch it. November 10th is Murder on the Orient Express, which is the, more Agatha Christie And, like, everybody's in it. Like, Kenneth Branagh, Daisy Ridley. Who the fuck is in it? Everybody. Johnny Depp.
Okay.
I know.
Not Lin-Manuel Miranda. Just
Lin-Manuel Miranda's not in it.
No. Leslie Adam Jr.
Oh, Leslie Adam Jr.'s in it? Oh, shit. He may cancel out Johnny Depp. No, Johnny Depp's too high on the list.
Michelle Pfeiffer, Olivia Colman.
Might be the guy who gets murdered, though.
Penelope Cruz.
That would be nice.
So, yeah, would you tune in? He's higher build, but he dies. So, would you tune in to watch him die?
Josh Gad could be fun. Jared Jacoby.
Yeah, and Josh Gad is
fun. It is a very good cast.
Yeah, I mean, and this is Olivia Colman. I love her. This is a thing where it's like, again, it's another remake, but it is Kenneth Branagh, who has proven to be good at remakes.
Yes.
And
especially if they're period dramas.
Right, and it's somehow like that, it's like, okay, that's the fun of seeing, like, these actors tackle these little characters, basically caricatures on the ownership. Yeah. You're not like, oh, wow, this movie is actually, or this story is actually, like, speaking to the human heart of whatever, right? so I think that could be enjoyable, except that I hate you, Johnny Depp. Okay, but otherwise,
maybe hopefully you die, and exactly, then we'll watch that.
And then it'll be okay. Yeah. Did I ever tell you guys about the so we 2.5 years ago, I guess it was, we flew to New York just to see Kenneth Branagh in Macbeth.
Oh
my God, it was amazing because it was not really, it's not interactive theater, but it's the stage is in the middle of risers on either side, and they're having, like, there's mud, there's rain, they're having battles, you walk in through a stone circle, and it's immersive is the whole, it was amazing. It was incredibly expensive, but it was worth every freaking penny. And it was, I think it was like $350 for the two of us to go, but it was so good. Yeah. Have you ever seen him do that kind of theater again? I mean, Kenneth Branagh doing Shakespeare.
Right.
Obviously, you got to go anyway. That's where he lives. It was him and Alex Kingston played Lady Macbeth.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was really, really amazing. He did it in London for 6 weeks, and then, like, a year and a half later, they did it in New York for 6 weeks. It was really cool. Anyway, my aside. And then, okay, so November 17th, Justice League. I don't know how I'm feeling about Justice League.
So, apparently there was a screening, right?
Oh.
And I did see a tweet.
Oh, no.
Okay, so a couple people were like, oh, yeah, I got to see Justice League, but they didn't say anything. But then one person was like, it was all right. They were just like, yeah, right. It was okay. And I was like, that's exactly what I want to hear about my movie. Like,
yeah.
It was okay. So, I mean, that's better than it was a flaming pile of dog poop, like Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah,
so,
or Suicide Squad.
So hopefully it's an improvement on those things.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm surprised there was even a screening this recently. I thought they were still, like, trying to figure out how to put a movie together. So that's
because
a good sign.
Because basically they've rewritten the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
They've had to refilm the whole thing. I don't know how it's supposed to work.
But. Like, I literally am only I only care about 2.5 seconds of this film. And that will be Kiersey Clemons' cameo as Iris West. So the only thing I care about. That's it. I don't care about anything else. Well, that's a lie. I care about
if
Amber
there's
Heard,
a showtime that will take place while my daughter is at school and be over before I have to pick her up, I will watch it.
Oh, nice.
I will go and
I don't know how I feel, because, like, it's Joss, which, you know, I'm not going to think about the whole thing with his wife. Just think of it. See, this is the conversation we were having before the podcast about
separating
Orson Scott Card
from,
and separating life from the art. But I don't know that it's going to be enough Joss. Even though he's getting the credit for it, and I like Joss's movies. I mean, Ultron sucked, but that was half of it's because the studio fucked him over. I just don't know that it feels like it's too little too late. Mm-hmm. And he's going to make it muddle through, and we'll get to another one, and maybe in the future it'll be better. Mm-hmm. But I just thought it was funny because I was watching something the other day, and I think Avengers was on, and I just put it on in the background. And I was looking at it, and I was like, wow, you know what's funny? Watching that movie and thinking about it and, like, Civil War and even Ultron, Ultron has the scenes of the party, but otherwise everything's during the day, whereas everything we've seen from Justice League
is
at night.
Yeah.
Could they be any more different? It's like, wow, you don't even have to look at the story.
Right.
They film during the day and they film at night. That's your stories.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's true.
Yeah, it's weird, right?
Yeah. Huh, very weird.
Because Civil War, I was like, because I was thinking about it, I was like, when do they, like, how many days is it after, like, Bucky gets caught? Mm-mm. Because it all happens so quickly. How fast is it supposed to happen? Because they never show you anything at night. And that's what led me to, wow, they never have night that I can think of. And they never have day in the Justice League that we can tell, it looks like. I mean, they even took the one shot that was in, like, the original trailers of Aquaman, The Flash, and Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And the original shots of it, they showed us, it was light behind it, and then they showed it to us in the trailer, and it's dark. So they changed it. They filmed it in the day, but they made it night. I don't know. Unless Joss changes that.
Maybe there'll be some more day scenes.
Yeah. So basically, I think we're gonna end November, which is with Coco.
Oh, that's like that's the Day of the Dead, but Pixar?
Actually, we aren't gonna end on that, because the next one. But yeah, I haven't really seen anything for Coco. Mm-mm. It feels like they're not pushing it very much, but maybe it's just too early. They don't think kids have an extension.
Yeah, but it's the parents that are gonna take them.
I know, that's true.
Yeah, I didn't even know about it until you guys brought it up earlier.
Yeah.
Clearly, because I didn't know.
Apparently, I'm going to Disneyland tomorrow, and one of the places at DCA has food that's themed towards Coco. But that's all I know. It's supposedly really good. They have, like, ghost pepper marinated beef in a taco or something that's got ghost pepper sauce on it. So Matt's going to eat that because I'm not eating that. But, yeah. Anyway. Oh, so that's not the last thing we're going to talk about, though, because we're going to talk about what's going to finally win Gary Oldman his Oscar, which is The Darkest Hour. Because I think this might be the movie that finally does it.
Aww.
Where he plays Winston Churchill. And it just premiered at TIFF last week, and apparently everybody says it's amazing.
Oh,
I mean, it's Gary Oldman. He disappears into roles. That's, like, what he's so great at. Mm-hmm. But he's only been nominated for an Oscar once.
And he didn't win?
And he didn't win. And it was nominated for Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. Okay. And he didn't win. And now, I think this is going to be the movie that does it.
Your time, Gary Oldman.
I hope so. Because he deserves it. He's a fantastic actor.
He is a fantastic actor.
But it's going to be one of those awards where you know if they give it to him, it's kind of a, here's your award for everything you've ever done.
Right.
Yes, for this movie, but here's your award for everything you've ever done because we didn't give you one before.
Yeah.
And we never nominated you until, like, 3 years ago.
Sure.
Oh, well.
Apparently, Google does not think a lot of it, because if you just type The Darkest Hour into Google, the first one that comes up is some 2011 C science fiction movie.
Well, it has an 82%.
Because I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, why are these, like, pretty young people in front of an explosion?
You're like, what are they?
What does the consensus say about it?
It's 82% fresh. I'm going to see how many people that is, because who knows?
Yeah. Oh, no consensus yet.
Average rating is only 7.2 out of 10, though. And reviews counted is 22. Mm-hmm. Fresh, 18. Rotten, 4.
Okay.
I want to see what the rotten people... Why are you saying it's rotten?
An acting exercise weighed down.
Oh.
Well, there you go. It's an acting exercise. So,
he
did the acting good.
He's great. Maybe the movie's not as great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Darkest Hour is a study of age and power and the achieving and decline of both. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
An urgent retelling of a pivotal moment in world history. I don't know what that really means, but okay.
I mean, that makes it sound like it's, like, timely, you know? Like, it's, like...
Yeah,
it's
it
a retelling.
It is pretty timely, because look at the...
Yeah.
Let's compare the world leaders. Although, we still have Angela Merkel, who's really the world leader right now, so...
She's the world leader.
She's the Winston Churchill of our time. God forbid we end up with World War III.
Oh, geez.
Which, you know, our leader...
Hey, the South Korean president is pretty awesome.
Oh, really?
The one who is not in jail. He actually had a quote last night where he was like, I am the president of the Candlelight Revolution.
Aww.
And it's true. And I hope, like, that's, like, a nickname. He's Candlelight President. It's awesome.
I like him, too.
He's good.
He's good.
We have some hope. Yeah. It's just, unfortunately, not in the U.S., and it's not in Britain right now.
Yeah.
So, it's in Germany, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
And then South Korea.
And South Korea.
I don't know anything about... Does Japan have a really good leader? Unfortunately, Italy doesn't, because I was like... It would be interesting if he flipped.
Right.
And the access...
No, the Japanese leader right now is the one who's, like, refusing to apologize for the comfort women thing.
Oh, shit.
And... Yeah.
That's no good.
Anyway, tangent. So, yeah, I want to see that. That's November 22nd, and that's the end of the fall movies, and then we'll, you know, sometime closer to Christmas we'll actually get to that. Which, by the way... We are going to be doing, at some point, a special on the Christmas stuff that the UK is putting out, because they do that. And they just announced this week that Don French and Jennifer Saunders are doing a special for Christmas, which is the first time that they've done an actual, like, any sketches together, or, like, a series of sketches together. I think they've done some, you know, sporadic things. But a series of sketches together in over 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And French and Saunders are obviously, you know, hugely popular. So
that's awesome.
That was the first, I was like, Matt, it's the most wonderful time of the year. When they started announcing what the British Christmas stuff is, and he laughed. So, yay, good things coming. So, anyway, I think now we're just going to move into our interview from Versailles. So, again, I spoke with Anna Brewster, who plays Madame de Montespan, the acting queen in season 2, or she might as well be, because she's the king's mistress, and she's walking around pregnant, and she's running the court, pretty much. So, here is our interview.
So, my name is Anna Brewster, and I play Madame de Montespan. And she is the mistress of the king. She's a very kind of witty character. She's very driven. She's kind of the center of kind of court life, really. But then season 2, which we're going into now, is kind of the kind of downfall of Montespan in a way. It's kind of the struggle to keep the king. So between season 1 and season 2, she's pregnant with his child. And so we kind of join her at the top of her reign as kind of mistress. I've forgotten what they call that. It's like maitresse en titre. I can't speak French very well. So we join her at the top of her reign, and it's basically about her struggle to keep the king and kind of the path that she takes and what avenues she tries to go down to keep his love.
Yeah, I mean, we start the season with her pretty much basically at the height. Mm-hmm. She is pregnant with his child. Yeah. She is the queen of Versailles, the unofficial queen of Versailles.
Exactly.
But the cracks begin to show pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I'm not clear on how long it's been between the first and the second season, actually.
So we were discussing this last night, and I, for some reason, had it in my head, it had been 2 years.
Okay.
But no, the producer would seem to think it had been, it's got to be at least 8 months because she's pregnant with his child. So yeah, between a year to 2 years, I think. And so you really do join her at the height of the reign. And then, yeah, as you say, things begin to go wrong very quickly.
Yeah, very quickly. If it's only been 1 or 2 years, he does have a wandering eye, obviously.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So as much as she is the unofficial Queen of Versailles, she's in an incredibly tenuous position if you juxtapose her to the Queen, because the Queen is guaranteed in that position, whereas obviously Montespan could be gone and within a second.
Well, historically, I mean, like, they came and went.
Yes.
It was just a matter of time.
So can you talk about a little the difference between the two characters and how that sets them apart and sets their role?
It's something that I've actually kind of been looking at recently, thinking about doing the interviews today. Because when we were doing the English press, it was a lot about kind of the rivalry between the two, and it was more about kind of girls fighting. And actually today we kind of were talking more about the fact that the Queen, they're two very different people. So like you can't force people to get on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, apart from all the different factors, like, you know, she's sleeping with her husband. She's pregnant with his child. they're just two very different people. So it's like anything at Versailles, like, they really locked people up in a chateau and expected them all to get along, which was never going to happen. So the cracks show. I mean, Montespan is, I mean, I guess she's a bit more of a free spirit. She's very witty. She kind of says what she thinks. She was actually religious, but not to the extent that the Queen is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think kind of religion at that time was very kind of juxtaposed with. sorry, I shouldn't swear. So religion was opposite, like, the kind of lifestyle that they led, which was kind of, especially at this time that we're discovering season 2, which was kind of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, so to speak. Rock and roll being like violence and stuff. So like the two kind of contradict each other, but at the same time there was not really much else to do. I mean, they're in Versailles. I mean, they kind of play, they gamble, they're having sex. It's a challenge. So yeah, they are two very different people, and you can't expect them to get along. But that's what I like about the show, because each of the female characters brings a different element. So I'm bringing something different to what Elisa brings, to what Jess is bringing. So that's why I think when Jess enters the show, it's like a breath of fresh air, because everything is getting pretty heavy at that point. And Jess is bringing the element of comedy. She won't mind me saying, but she's great. And yeah, So we're all different, but we all bring something different, which is great. I think which makes colors the show, which is what a TV show needs.
You'd think, considering she is in such a tenuous position, that she might be tried a little more carefully, but she's just not that kind of person.
Well, she's A, not that kind of person, and B, she's desperate, you know. I think in season one, I spoke with the showrunners about her relationship with the king, and we spoke about, you know, did she intend to be with him? Was that her drive all along?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a lot of the girls at court were really, like, that was, like, their aim. And I feel like with Montespan, because she was from a wealthy family, she didn't need the kind of status. But at the same time, I was wondering whether maybe it's something that just kind of happened, and I feel like if you explore it down that route, then it's something that she was kind of not expecting and wasn't really sure how to deal with it or manage it. So then it's this desperation of actually genuine love and going, oh, okay, I wasn't expecting to fall in love with you, but I did fall in love with you, and now I've got you, and I'm terrified of losing you. And so that would then drive this desperation that she's, you know, she's looking for, like, a way of keeping him, which kind of is, I mean, these things are crazy, you know. The things that she went through and the things that she did to kind of get this guy and keep him is crazy nowadays, but at the time it was kind of, you know, Madame Agathe was kind of dishing it out, you know. She wants some poison shot.
It feels like as she feels less connected to the king, she pushes him more.
Yeah, I think that's a very common thing. I mean, I've done it with partners, like, you know, if you feel like you're losing someone, you become really erratic and you almost push too hard. And it's like, I think it's quite a common thing, yeah.
Yeah. So for her bringing Madame Agathe in, she seems to think that this is going to help in some way, but it obviously backfires very quickly.
Very quickly. I mean, the first meeting is all pretty bad.
And Madame Agathe is obviously has her own agenda, and as much as she may care for Montespan, she wants wealth, she wants power on her own level. How does that bring a new danger to Montespan?
Well, I think what changes is, like, their relationship. So there's a lot of, me and Suzanne, we kind of spoke a lot about this, but there's a lot of, it was hard to kind of figure out what that relationship was, because you kind of hit their relationship when it's falling apart. And I mean this more as, like, an actor.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of hit them when they're falling apart. So we were trying to figure out what their relationship was, and we saw it as more of a mother-daughter kind of thing. And you never see the side of Montespan where she kind of opens up and is slightly vulnerable, and she really does that with Agathe. But then as things go wrong, so this is stuff that we kind of assumed, but then as things go wrong, I mean, you don't want to be on the end of Montespan's kind of, you don't want to be on Montespan's bad side, basically. So, yeah, I think the relationship dynamic changes. But as an actor, that was interesting because we had to, you know, we didn't get to see that before, but we had to assume that had happened to allow this change.
Mm-hmm.
So that then you could bring in elements. So we were creating a backstory for them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, have I gone off on a tangent? I tend to do that.
That's okay. No, I mean, you were kind of going with, but it was just about what kind of danger it brings to her.
Yeah, well, I mean, the danger is that it's kind of the beginning of the end of Louis and Montespan, because then it all kind of falls apart from that point. So, that's the danger. I imagine it's not a thing that Montespan did a lot. I know she trusted Agathe to come in, and Agathe kind of turns it around on her. But I'm not sure. I mean, obviously, in that scene, it's strange, because I think it's something that she obviously probably saw, and the cards told her. And for us, again, as actors, it's kind of, we've got to remember that, like, this is stuff that people really believed in. And I mean, for me, it seems very far-fetched, but, like, this kind of, like, you know, it's like religion and stuff. It's like this kind of power that you, they see or they saw.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe in that, it's like, it's absolute. So, like, I think Montespan believed in it, but there's also this element of, like, a fun to it until it's not fun. Do you know what I mean? It's I come to LA and I think about going to a psychic just because they're everywhere. But then I'm like, no, actually, I don't really want to go because I'm a bit scared. But then I'm like, why am I scared? Because it's really stupid. Like, is it something that I actually believe in? But you kind of, I don't know, there's always this like, oh, well, maybe that's true.
I know what you mean. I'm an atheist, but I still...
Yeah, me too.
The cards are a little... It's a bit... Sometimes, every once in a while. You're like, I don't know.
Exactly.
So as much as she says she loves the king, and obviously you do see that, she doesn't seem to be seeing as much the darkness that is... like how dark he is right now and the problems that he's having. Is it just that she's so focused on her own problems, or she just can't see that in him?
It's a strange one, actually. I've not been asked that before, but I'd say that she maybe was aware, but I go back to this kind of desperation thing. It's like, it's love is blind, isn't it? It's like, maybe you do get so wrapped up in like your own kind of feelings instead of like looking out for the other person. And so a lot of this story of like season two is like, it's very close to me because it was like a difficult time for me, so I was able to bring a lot of that into it. So I try and understand things when I'm acting as how I'd feel in that situation, which is again this kind of human element. And I think sometimes you kind of shut off and you're so wrapped up in yourself that you don't really see what someone else is feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that's it. I don't know. Me kind of going back to like, if I like to try and think about things as, I know this is a story we're telling, but these people are humans, and how would I react in that situation? And,
So I was asking the others this same question, and you being actually having been in both seasons now, there is a definite. More emphasis placed on the women and the roles in the season, and now you've all been brought here, and it's just the women. And I'm sure you're not aware, but the last few days we've actually had a lot more panels focusing on the women of the shows, even shows that might be more about like the main character's a man. We're getting more the women on that. So, and it's part of an overall turn as we speak about it more. You have major like A-list actors who are demanding equal pay and things like that. On the back end of it, how are you seeing that shift in the industry?
For me, it's it's such a basic thing that is logic that people should be treated equal. That I'm a feminist in the way, I believe in equality.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I believe that on this show we're all equal. It's such an ensemble cast. There's like 18 central characters, varying ages. We all do as much work. It's like, it's just so basic to me that we should all be. It's nice that we can represent, but it shouldn't have to be a thing that we have to do anymore, because come on guys, it's like
it's the 21st century.
At the end of the day, I mean, like, you know, like the last couple of years it's been Alex and George who have been doing press, but last year the show was about Alex and George. So this year the show is about, we've heard Alex and George's side, the show is now moving on to me and Elisa, so let's talk about me and Elisa, but it's not about gender or pay or anything. Like, I mean, sure, for sure the industry needs to kind of catch up, but for me it's such a basic kind of human right nowadays. Like, it's not even about gender, it's just human rights. Like, come on, we're all equal, surely, you know, race, sex, colour, it's just,
Yeah, definitely. Great. All right, thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right, thank you for joining us for another Pop a la Carte, and we'll see you next week. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.